You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 29 April. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Gary Boyson, I want to ask him, what's bothering him about these bullish markets? Everyone I speak to, bullish. Okay, fair shot. Does Gary perhaps have some concerns? Chris Rule from Core Shares, as they got a new Total World ETF in IPO listing mid-May, and Anishrin Pillay on the best and worst ESG sectors on the JSE. A poll yesterday, Revigo, which was supposed to list today, but it's been delayed by a couple of days. Nonetheless, a renewable energy company offering a target dividend yield of 8 to 10%. The question is, we asked if this is something you'd be interested in. 27% of you, absolutely. 12% said not for you, and 61% saying they will have a look. It's a fair shot. Having a look is probably the right response. Let's not jump wildly. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb: fallen giants, how are the turnarounds going? Six once large caps that are now a whole lot smaller. And what is the prognosis looking like for each of those six? Business day, state may have to absorb $250 billion of Eskom's debt to save it. It's about 6% of GDP. I mean, I mean, we're between a rock and a very hard place with Eskom. I mean, we need Eskom. We can't let it fail. But what do we do with that giant pile of debt? Morning markets, US was red overnight. S&P again, only just down just under 0.1%. NASDAQ off another 0.3%. Asia is green. Sydney up 0.3%. Tokyo up 0.2%. Commodities green overnight. Gold 1786. Palladium nudging all-time highs just below $3,000 an ounce. Rand 14.23, top 40 opening call, green open, 30 points higher, which is, what, about 0.05%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Gary Boyson. He is, of course, portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Gary, morning. Appreciate your time. I mentioned it in the intro there. Everyone seems bullish. And I messaged you last night and said, you know, what's worrying you? Because everyone's bullish out there, and that's fine. But there's always something out there. So I thought I'd throw you the hot potato figuratively. Is there something out there in the markets that maybe not keeping you awake at night, but certainly you're keeping an eye on just in case?
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever you invest in equities, there's always going to be a degree of risk. So I think that's important to understand as well, that you know, whether people are all bullish or all bearish, equities come with risk, but it's really that risk that makes them attractive, because mm-hmm. that's the risk that helps you enhance your return. But of course, there are many different types of risk out there. I suppose we normally equate risk to volatility if you're looking at portfolio management, but that's by no means the only type of risk. And it's also very difficult for clients to understand risk. Most of them are focused on performance and not risk-weighted performance. So, so if I had to come up with kind of the big risks that are worrying me, I've got a couple of market-related risks, but the one that's probably most concerning at the moment is actually FOMO risk coming out of our which is, it's really, they're seeing these markets that are very hot. They see markets going higher, and it's prompting them to want to change their tactical asset allocations. They're kind of looking at more expensive markets and saying, oh, well, I should have more exposure to them because look how well they're doing. I want to capture those kind of returns. And it's almost a psychological risk that most investors face, that in financial markets, it works very different to the normal real world market of goods and services. If you went into a shop and you saw a TV that was going for $20,000, suddenly you went in the next day and it was going for $35,000.
Yep.
You wouldn't go and buy that TV because you'd go, oh, what a rip. I'm not going to go buy that. It's more expensive than it was yesterday.
But markets are exactly the opposite.
exactly the opposite. Because markets are kind of an agglomeration of everyone's ideas and beliefs, you know, the tendency is when they see prices going up, they go, oh, everyone knows something that I don't know. I should probably get in there, even though I'm not quite sure why I'm getting in there. And that for me is a massive risk for investors. If you're getting into stocks because you just see them going up, that is absolutely the wrong reason to be buying into a stock. If you're changing your tactical asset allocation to say, I'm going to go from 60% equity to 70% equity just because you see prices are higher, again, very, very wrong way of making that decision. And I can see that decision being made at many levels from clients managing their own portfolio. So yeah. I'd say to listeners, just be very concerned about that. Because markets are going higher doesn't mean that you should be buying more of them at this stage. You should be going looking for cheap themes that will give you something extra.
Yeah, I mean, and I take your point. I mean, absolutely. And I like it. FOMO risk. And the antidote for it, in a sense, is have your strategy, know your strategy, and trust in your strategy. And I know it's very easy for me and you to sit here and say that. It's a whole lot harder when something you don't own or something you think you're underweight is flying. But it's around having a very clear strategy from day one to kind of keep you out of this FOMO, because it'll all shake out in time.
No, absolutely. I mean, we've seen it across so many different sectors over time. I mean, you know, you couldn't, a couple of years ago, you looked at commodity counters on the JSE, yeah, and you'd say, there's no way I can buy Kumba. Yes, I mean, it makes iron ore. Yes, people are probably going to use the iron ore, but this company is going bankrupt, you know. And a couple of years later, it's turned around. We've just seen it in the oil companies over the last 6 months as well. So, you know, stick to kind of, I think, the fundamentals of the companies and understand what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, if I'm looking at another risk, so I'll just give you, I suppose, one more at the moment, which is, I think that the other risk, and this is more financial market risk that we're seeing, it's kind of starting to filter into the mainstream media headlines, and that's just the risk around, inflation coming into the system and higher interest rates as well. We saw a little bit of concern earlier in the year that we would see some inflationary pressure creeping in. We saw it with those kind of higher bond yields in the US as people were expecting interest rates to have to increase. We've seen that kind of reverse. And for us, you know, if you're really looking for, I suppose, a broader theme, not a psychological risk, mm-hmm, but an actual market risk, I think that's kind of where you should be looking. Obviously after the global financial crisis, we saw, basically very, straight, untested monetary policy coming in, all the QE programs. Everyone said to us, we're going to have runaway inflation, and they were absolutely dead wrong. We've had no inflation for 10 years. But just because we haven't had this kind of runaway inflation for 10 years doesn't mean that it can't come back. And with the fiscal programs that are coming in from the Biden administration, I think that could filter into financial markets as well. Now, to go back to our original point of doing good fundamental analysis, if you are expecting high inflation, what you're looking for at this stage is companies that have low gearing and that have the ability to pass their costs on to the customers. If that's the kind of a segment that you're looking at, go and find companies that are at reasonable valuations doing that. That's a strategy that I think listeners can adopt, that if we do see high inflation going forward, they will be paid off.
Yeah, I like that. And it's around that pricing power, but also around their debt that sits there. Gary Boyson, portfolio manager, Rand Swiss, a FOMO risk and that potential inflation / interest rate risk as well. Appreciate the early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Chris Rule. He's Head Product and Client Solutions at CoreShares Asset Management. Chris, appreciate your early morning time. You're bringing a new ETF to market. Currently, it is in IPO running. That runs until 7 May, which is next Friday. It is a total world ETF. It will be a first for the JSE. We've got sort of global ETFs, but nothing quite as total world as this one that you'll be bringing to market.
Well, thank you, Simon. Absolutely. It is a total world is a nice description, but it truly is total. And it is the first of its kind where it is bringing in both large caps, which we get on the JSE at the mm-hmm. moment, global large caps, but also mid and small caps, which for us is really exciting. That takes your total equity coverage on a global standpoint from about 73% all the way up to 98%. So you really are buying the whole world. And then it also includes emerging markets. So there is an ETF on the market that includes emerging markets, but not quite to the same extent. So this ETF will have between 11 and 13% in emerging markets, which we believe is an important cog in your growth driver of your portfolio, and is often ignored in South African portfolio. So yeah, we're really excited about bringing this ETF to the market, which is, as you said, it's called a Total World Stock ETF, and it has broad global coverage. And then, of course, one of the values of ETFs is it's wrapped at a really efficient, low-cost targeted TER of 0.29%.
Yeah, that 0.29 is going to bring it in at I mean, we're talking tiny numbers here, and that is an attractive price. And the EM part, emerging market, 11-13%, and chatting with you, I think it was last week, there's some, where does the South Korea fit in that equation? Most of the ETFs out there are running at around 7% emerging market. I like the increased emerging market. I like that small cap, which the others out there are either large cap or, as you say, some large and mid. Now, the small cap part is going to be sort of the tail at the end, but it does bring in a whole range of global stocks that normally we're just not getting any exposure to at all.
No, absolutely. And I mean, it's a small cap tail, and you're right to call it the tail, but it still makes up 10% of the total portfolio. Mm-hmm. So, it's a significant chunk. That 10%, though, is hugely diversified, in terms of the number of counters. The total portfolio has around 9,000 shares. Mm-hmm. So, that's a massive amount of portfolio and single share diversification. But what's nice about the small cap tail is that, a lot of the risks associated with small caps, single company risks, lots of variability in share price, illiquidity, you can diversify that away with a very, well-diversified tail, as you mentioned, of small caps. So you get this exposure to that driver of returns of small companies, where over long periods of time, small companies should outperform large companies, but you don't do it with the same level of risk as if you were, trying to pick even 10 companies. You're taking on a lot of risk in that environment.
And this is a perfect sort of core ETF. I know Nirina Fisser and you guys at Core Shares talk around the idea of having a core ETF in your portfolio. Yeah. And then around that, you could add equity, or you could go and add some a China ETF or a NASDAQ or a RESI or whatever. And something like this global ETF is very much perfect for that core part of the portfolio, and then all the satellite ones around it.
100%. I mean, we like core satellite investing so much, we called our business Core Shares. So, there's no secret about that. And this is your classic core. This you hold as a big chunk of your portfolio. Mm-hmm. And then you pull those other options that are so widely available now in our market, as you say, China exposure or property, alternative asset class exposures, So, we absolutely position this as just your classic core holding in a portfolio.
We'll leave that there. That's Chris Rue, Head Product and Client Solutions, CoreShare Asset Management. IPO runs until 7 May, listing 17 May. Code will be global, and your stockbroker will have the IPO available. If not, poke them and say that you are interested. Chris, appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Anishwin Pillay, CEO of Risk Insights. Anishwin, appreciate the time. You've released a report looking at overall ESG rankings for JSE sectors. We've chatted before around sort of, I think there was the mining sector in particular. And this time you've used disclosed data out there, what the companies are disclosing, and have been sort of looked at the sectors and sort of top of it. Banks, resources, they are coming out tops in terms of the environmental, the social, and the governance.
Morning, Simon. Thank you very much for having me this morning. Yes, I mean, the banks and the miners definitely have the best disclosure. They report well. They have balanced reporting over all the elements. And what we have seen is the transparent disclosure leads to better sustainability and ultimately better performance. So we've done empirical studies to actually show this. So essentially, companies that have high ESG scores tend to outperform the market, which is something being talked about in the ESG space for a long time, but we've actually been able to show this now. And using empirical evidence like the disclosure rankings that we released shows you which sectors are actually disclosing better than others. Especially the laggard being financial services and media, there's opportunities to improve, especially on the E and the S side.
Yeah, and that disclosure is fascinating. And intuitively, as you mentioned, it does make sense. A company that is more transparent is probably going to have better ESG. It's almost a quick and dirty way of getting a sense of where a company sits within the rankings. That bottom end as well. I mean, part of the issue here, I imagine, is maybe skewed by some of the sectors, some of the smaller sectors, perhaps only having one or two stocks in them as well, which therefore obviously means that, you know, if there's only a single stock, then one company can really drag down a sector. But I was surprised by some. For example, I mean, retail, obviously, that's a giant sector, and they're actually doing quite poorly, ranking towards the bottom.
Yeah, the key thing is governance is still predominant in all sectors, so because of the regulation and the acts that govern it. But definitely on the S and the G side, I mean, I don't have to mention there's been some social issues inclusivity issues on the retail side. So definitely improvement on the E and the S side, and especially looking at decarbonization of your supply chain. So if you're a retailer, you're a listed retailer, you should be looking at all the logistics companies and all the companies that fit into your supply chain and how you can reduce carbon emissions and actually disclose on this. It's quite logical and simple logic that this can be done. So you don't only look at your own operations or your own segment of business. You look at your entire supply chain and how you can improve reporting on that, as well as where you source products from and the carbon trail that leaves. And on the social side, it's about inclusivity and diversity. And that applies across the board.
But I like your point there as well. I mean, supply chains, of course, they're important. And what that means, in a sense, is that for some industries, and let's go back to banking, who's sort of coming out tops, they don't really have supply chains. So it's almost, in a sense, easier for them to tick those boxes. The retailers have got, you know, it's not just the supply chain from the warehouse locally. If that product's manufactured in China, which in many cases it may well be, there's a lengthy supply chain which you need to then get right.
You're 100% right. So in the banking space, you know that the green bank is leading the way. So we've seen it. It's obvious. And also, on the banking side, banks should be disclosing how they are investing in fossil fuels as well as renewable energy. It's something that should be quite transparent and quite comparable across the board. The new TCFD reporting, which most banks are starting to do, actually starts to show this. And it's going to become more and more evident going forward, and you'll be able to compare banks on this basis. And it will ultimately drive capital allocation.
Yeah, it absolutely will. I take that point. Ultimately, it drives capital allocation. I like the point we touched up top. It's about disclosure. It's about that transparency. And the more disclosure, the more transparency, truthfully, almost certainly, the higher the ESG score will be. Anna Shrimpilla, CEO of Risk Insights, appreciate your early morning time. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 32, a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. Our poll, which we have got out today on both our Twitter and our LinkedIn social media accounts, chatting with Chris Rule about that Total World ETF listing 17 May. Do you prefer an all-world ETF or perhaps a niche such as a tech or an emerging market? The options out there, give me the tech. I like the Total World, a bit of both, or only stocks for me. I'm in that bit of both in a sense, although I use ETF at my core and then equities sort of are my satellites. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. The MoneyWeb website, app, and of course wherever good podcasts are aggregated. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, and Mattapello, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.